Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are a go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the info war. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. It is Sunday, the 15th day of May 2011. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours live, as we are every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, of course, back weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern, obviously. Okay, let me just give you a brief rundown of the important news we have here in front of us today. Obviously, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, a big one-world government globalist promoter, has been arrested in New York City. And I have no doubt that Kahn is the type of guy, he's had some other sex scandal type stuff before. I have no doubt that this is the type of thing that somebody like him would be up to. But Al Gore didn't get in trouble, and the woman says she has the dress, like Monica Lewinsky. So why has she been arrested? I mean, in New York City, you can blow up Building 7 in front of everybody, and if the mayor's for it, you don't get in trouble. I mean, in New York City, you can, if you're mafia or globalist mafia, you can do whatever you want. So I find the whole thing very suspicious. We'll be going over some of that today. The head of the IMF has been charged with a criminal sexual act, attempting to rape and unlawful imprisonment following allegations made by a hotel maid in New York City. It'd also be easy to set these guys up. They can he can be told he's ordering something up to his room, and then they send in a regular maid. That's how the globalists operate. You see, Kahn was getting ready to run for president against Nicolas Sarkozy, who is a favorite little New World Order minion. And the IMF and World Bank at certain levels do fight with each other. And it was the IMF really pushing for the dollar to implode and die rather than the euro. IMF is generally more associated with the EU and funded mainly by the EU and peopled by EU minions, and the World Bank by U.S. and British minions. But six one way, half a dozen another. That's why he should get a trial. A trial. You see, that's why we have trials. That's, we hear the media going, let's get tough and get rid of trials and start torturing people. And that's the way to handle things in America. And that bin Laden, he doesn't deserve a trial. Really, doesn't need to be interrogated either if he's the terror mastermind. You don't want him to have a trial and have all that information, who else was involved with him coming out. No, he sleeps with the fishes with his whole CIA history. That's what they tell us. He sleeps with the fishes. He slept with the fishes a long time ago. But there's another example of why you're supposed in a free system should be getting a trial. But trials are out of style. And keeping your public and private pension funds are out of style. There's moves in multiple U.S. states I want to get to later to start looting not just public but private pension funds. The same IMF World Bank system that runs Ireland and our nation is now moving for the private pension funds, your money, 100%. But I guess that's welfare now. Your own investments, your own bank account, your own pension, if it's private, that's welfare as well. You don't deserve that. Pay your fair share to the bankers because they're busy waging war against the real economy. And I've been lacking in the last week getting into the big developments at Fukushima. So in the spirit of that, I'm going to cover that first when we get back. Then Ron Paul, obviously Friday announcing for president. We told you a year ago that was going to happen, and it did happen. I'm not going to say what little bird told me, but I knew it was a shoe-in as long as he was in good health. And we win either way. He'll be injecting real issues into the campaign, whether he wins, loses, or draws. It'll be positioning Rand Paul for runs in the future. My gut tells me Rand Paul is going to be a president someday, perhaps when we've got the Republic back. I'm Alex Jones. Big Sunday transmission lined up for you. The revolution will be transmitted via InfoWars.com.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm here live. The websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Then, of course, we come back in live Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. That's 5 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 4 Pacific, 3 to 5 Mountain, and join you live. Appreciate my great crew coming in every Sunday to bring you this transmission. Appreciate all the wonderful AM and FM affiliates out there across the land. We're gaining on average about 3 new affiliates a week. Many of them, the number one big talk stations in major cities. And that really illustrates the fact that the information we cover here has been borne out by time. And so much of what we've discussed has unfortunately come true. And so the credibility of this radio broadcast and what we do here is only rising. And we would have had no success if it wasn't for you, the listeners, in the last 16-plus years of transmission, continuing to spread the word about this broadcast because you understood how important the information covered here is. Again, I'm Alex Jones, your host, and we're going to be live here now for the next hour and 53 minutes or so. Let me just do this. I always say I'm going to do this, and I almost always fail because I get two or three articles into the stack and then catch on one article and pretty much launch. But I do want to just give you a smattering of what's posted or linked up on our news websites. At Reactor, damage worse than feared, Wall Street Journal. No, the controlled corporate media financed by the nuclear industry to a great extent did not want the public to know how bad this was in the last 2 months, and so they whitewashed it from the beginning. And we're on record laying that out. All of the six reactors have had fires and explosions. Going back over a month ago, it was clear, and we had nuclear physicists and experts and reporters on from Japan, that at least three of the six had almost complete meltdowns. That's now admitted. Five of the six, big explosions and fires, and even the sixth that was shut down before the tsunami and earthquake that triggered all of this, it's had fires and has been smoking. And the issue is there's continual clouds of radioactive isotopes drifting over the Pacific Ocean directly into North America, from California up into Canada. And wave after wave comes in. And one wave wouldn't be so bad. Oh, the first wave hit. Oh, it's only 20 times normal level of this isotope and 30-something of that. And then it's another wave and another wave. Months of this stuff drifting over. And the last time I checked, it's not even been on our radar screen myself, because the mainstream media started ignoring it. And we almost get pulled in a tidal or gravitational way towards what the mainstream's focusing on. Sometimes we shouldn't, because I like to, you know, normally when they're covering something, decipher their propaganda and lies. But when they just go silent on it, I tend to at least go partially silent myself. But going back a month ago, and we posted these articles and links to the different state agencies, the feds aren't even looking at radiation levels, of 500-plus times in several different key isotopes in the milk, in the produce, all over the U.S. And now the Japanese government, as of 2 weeks ago, was reporting, oh, this might go for 9 months, a year, and then it was 2 years, and maybe 3 years. And now they're saying it may just go forever, for the foreseeable future, decades. And they're saying they're going to cover it with circus tents. And so maybe P.T. Barnum can tell us the sucker's born every minute. I guess this is some attempt to keep the particulate and the gases that are carrying radioactive isotopes from rising up out of giant circus tents. And they're contracting with circus tent manufacturers. They make the biggest tents in the world. I guess in the 21st century, they can't build a glass dome over it. And over a mile and a half away, the Japanese were forced to admit about a month ago again, a month into it, that fuel rods had been ejected over a mile and a half. We reported that on the Monday that the reactor 3, the Mark 1, blew up. It's a uranium-plutonium reactor, and we could see the rods ejected at least 3,000 feet in the air. I went and looked up the tower height. It was they have 1,000-foot towers surrounding it to keep airplanes back. That's Japanese regulations, similar here in the U.S. And then I noticed the explosion was about three times as tall, so I said 3,000 feet. And now, of course, the New York Times reported almost a month ago, and the Japanese government report admitting 4,000-foot plumes, so it was worse than I said, ejecting fuel rods a mile and a half. Because they had 644,000 spent fuel rods stored on top of the reactors. That was a very good idea. And so you have what they say is almost complete meltdown at three of the reactors. And so this now officially dwarfs Chernobyl. And I've got all those reports up on Infowars.com. I've got My Fox New York, Wall Street Journal, and a bunch of other reports. Paul Joseph Watson's report, media shrugs at Fukushima nuclear meltdown and exposed fuel rods. And we noticed on Monday, the Japanese TV station, one of the big national stations, had a webcam from a mile away, and we saw smoke and explosions and said, oh, looks like an explosion. But it took 4 days for our media and the Japanese media to admit there had been more explosions and smoke. So now when the reactors blow up again and again, it's not even news. And we've had reactor leaks in the U.S., reactor leaks in Canada. Normally would be 3 Mile Island level events. They're just minor footnotes. And so the effect of this is to condition us to just accept it and think it's no big deal. It's bizarre. And I've heard announcements they're going to build more reactors in the U.S. now, and Tokyo Electric's going to build them, and this is just the way it is, and that we all just accept it. In fact, guys, print me the actual article because I want to give folks the footnotes. EPA raises safe levels of radiation. And you'll see it out of California newspapers. The San Francisco Chronicle did cover it. But you've got to love this new magic way of handling things where the establishment just says, oh, we've got 500-plus times safe levels of radioactive nickel, or we've got 300-something times radioactive iodine in the Oakland water, and the state admits it, or we've got hundreds and hundreds of times in places like Vermont in the milk. What we're going to do is just raise the isotope level. So in one isotope, they said it could be 1,000 times. In another isotope, they said 150,000 times. And we wrote articles about all this and linked to the state websites and to the public comment period of the Environmental Protection Agency a month ago when they said we've changed tentatively the levels that we say are safe, but you can publicly comment if you want. But, of course, we could care less what you actually comment on. And that's basically what's happened. So they've now officially raised all those levels. So it's kind of like cyanide. You know, if you get 1 gram of it, it will kill an average person. Somebody weighing 150 pounds. Well, if you eat a gram of cyanide, just have the government say, you know what? We say you can have 1,000 grams. And you put 1,000 grams on your cereal, eat it, you're going to be fine. Because the government said so. Decon rat poison says if you eat this, it'll kill you. Well, the government can just wave a magic pixie wand and little pixie dust falls down on it and you can eat 1,000 boxes. Of course, you can't really eat 1,000 boxes. Don't eat one pellet of it. You'll get violently ill. And of course, you can't eat 100 grams of cyanide. It will kill you. But see, radiation is invisible. Well, that's not true. When it was 7.5 million times safe levels, ABC News was finally forced to report a few weeks ago, normal levels at Fukushima. So at nighttime, there's big blue beams shooting out of the top. I'm sorry. When it's that powerful, you can see it. But the stuff we're getting hit by, you can't see it. You don't see big glowing beams of radiation shooting through you. Oh, and they are reporting on the deaths ratcheting up in Japan of people from radiation poisoning, but that's a little footnote now. After all, there's a basketball game on. See, I said I'd just read through the headlines, and I didn't. I'm going to come back, get into Dominic Strauss-Kahn of the IMF, reportedly running around like Al Gore, trying to bushwhack women that come in to clean his hotel room, and a lot more. Stay with us.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center
in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Here's the kind of news I have in front of me. This is out of the Northwest Indiana Times. Court, no right to resist illegal cop entry into home. When I saw this Friday, I went and pulled it up in mainstream newspapers in Indiana. I pulled up the ruling. And it is true, and they have the ruling by the Supreme Court of Indiana saying there is no Fourth Amendment. The police can, quote, come in your house even if they don't have a reason. There is no Fourth Amendment in America. Justice Stephen David, writing for the court, said if a police officer wants to enter a home for any reason or no reason at all, they can without warrants now. They went on to attack in the ruling the Magna Carta and common law as bad. This is not a onion story. This is not a joke. Torture being promoted is not a joke. You know, when the North Koreans tortured our people in the Korean War, or when the North Vietnamese did in the Vietnam War, boy, they were the worst. Hitler tortured people, after all. The Soviets did, but now our media tells us torture is great. It's the moral thing to do. And my dad went to church today at the big Methodist church here in Austin, and they had a little part where at the end of the service they were reading areas out of the Psalms about the rod and the staff, they comfort me, and they were talking about Christ as the shepherd and the curved staff to help guide little sheep and help them not go over the cliff. And they called up all the little kids to the front and asked them, you know, what does this mean to you? And what does the staff symbolize? And of course, the children were guiding us, protecting us, directing us. And this one little six-year-old said, we can torture the sheep to keep us safe. And of course, there was a gasp there, but this is how America has changed. And this is what we've become, and we are a captured nation by foreign offshore banks. You know, I get emails all the time saying, well, who are the foreign offshore banks? Well, I've made films breaking it down, the Obama deception, Fall of the Republic, Endgame. It's the six megabanks. If you look at the shareholders of Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, Citibank, they are predominantly owned by foreign European shareholders. And you can just go review that. That information is public. What was not public for the last 3 years since the banker takeover of October 3rd, 2008, known as the banker bailout, was not a bailout, it was a robbery, $27 trillion and counting of taxpayer money. What Congress couldn't get, private lawsuits got, because a lot of private people's money was stolen. And, of course, AP and Bloomberg in the last year have gotten some of those documents. It's a fraction, only around a trillion of the $27 trillion, and almost all of it was to foreign banks and foreign subsidiaries of those banks. And so that's who runs America. That's who our military works for. That's the states have been pretty much federalized. And these are ruthless people. And that leads me to the next group of articles here. This is out of Sky Television. That's Fox in England. IMF head charged over alleged sex attack. And remember Al Gore, the woman even says she has the dress where he ran around with an open robe on. I can imagine nothing more disgusting than Al Gore running around with a robe open with no underwear on, and cornered her, and then basically, well, you've seen what dogs do when they start jumping on each other. And the police just said, well, we don't care if you have the DNA. We're not testing it. He's Al Gore. And Khan, we have some articles linked. You know, and of course, Al Gore says he hasn't done it. And I'm sure he didn't. Al Gore is a great, great American, very truthful person. After all, he invented the Internet in 1996. He said decades after it was publicly invented, and the inventors are known in the U.S. and England. But he said it, so it's true. Continuing, IMF head charged over alleged sex attack. And this does fit into the MO of Dominique Strauss-Kahn. He's had marital problems and problems reportedly with his employees and almost lost his job a few years ago. We have that linked up on Infowars.com. In fact, let me just take you to it. As a reminder, back in 2008, the IMF hired a law firm to investigate whether its chief had an improper relationship with a female employee. And it's got the name of her and a link to it. That's from Tyler Durgan at Zero Hedge. We've got that posted up at Infowars.com. But here's the Sky Television report. IMF head charged over a leg sex attack. The head of the IMF has been charged with a criminal sexual act, attempted rape, and unlawful imprisonment following allegations made by a hotel maid in New York. But Bill Clinton said, how dare you? How dare you say I had sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky? I did not have sex. Look at me in my eyes. I did not have sex with her. Of course, it came out later he did and lied and perjured himself, but he's still innocent. He's a good American. IMF head charged over alleged sex attack. Dominique Strauss-Kahn, who is a horrible, swollen globalist who openly waged war against Greece and Ireland, and it's turned out in both those countries that over 90% of the debt is owed by the private banks that use the IMF as a consortium, less than 10% in Iceland as well. It's the same in every country. It's owed by the people, but they buy off the prime ministers, the presidents, the heads of the private central banks. And I remember seeing the head of the Irish Central Bank a few months ago in the BBC saying, we believe it's good to be owned by foreign banks. We're glad to be taken over. See, they just throw it in your face and say it with a straight face as if you'll just accept it. Yeah, the TSA is going to stick their hands down your pants. Yeah, we're going to take the veterans' death benefits from World War II onward and start making vets pay for their own health care. Yeah, we're going to take their death insurance, their life insurance. Remember, that came out a year ago. Nobody got in trouble. Secret deals with the Pentagon, with insurance companies to steal all their money. I mean, yeah, we're going to give thousands of waivers to Al Gore and Bill Clinton and George Soros' buddies through President Obama with these waivers for health care, where your company, if you're an insider, doesn't have to buy health care, but your competition does. But I digress. It's all in your face. IMF head charged over alleged sex attack. Dominique Strauss-Kahn was taken into custody at JFK Airport after being pulled from the first-class cabin of a flight to Paris just minutes before takeoff. The 62-year-old married father of four is due to appear before a judge later today. The lawyer representing Mr. Strauss-Kahn, Benjamin Brothman, has indicated he will plead not guilty to the charges. The incident is alleged to have happened in Mr. Strauss-Kahn's luxury suite at the Sofitel Hotel, not far from Manhattan's Times Square. A 32-year-old maid told authorities she was attacked when she went to the room to clean it. Kahn's lawyer is now denying it. But I want to tell you what Ron Paul says about this when we come back from this quick break. And then I'm going to shift gears into Geithner, our little Strauss-Kahn, head of the Treasury. Geithner predicts double dip if Congress fails to lift debt ceiling. Folks, we've never left the recession. We'll be right back. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here's the toll-free number if you want to get involved on air on any of the news items or issues that I've already covered or any questions or points or issues you want to raise. Love to hear from you. The Sunday number is different than the weekday number. It's 877-789-ALEX, 877-789-ALEX, or 877-789-2539. And we will get you up and on the air. Okay, let me just get back into this whole Strauss-Kahn thing. Then I want to get into Israel reportedly shooting and killing 8 people in riots and uprisings going on in Israel and on Israel's borders. Obviously, I'm going to ask the question, when does the NATO invasion of Israel begin? Because we've been told that if a government shoots rioters, they must be invaded. Even if the rioters are admitted al-Qaeda, as they are in Libya. Now, come on, let's be consistent here. Are we going to have a NATO bombardment of Bahrain? Are we going to have a NATO bombardment of Saudi Arabia? We've had some riots there and some deaths. Are we going to No, there's not going to be any of that there. It's not humanitarian what's happening in Libya. I'm no fan of Muammar Gaddafi. But you notice he's tried to play nice for 6 years, paid reparations, gave up his WMDs, and now he's been double-crossed, and they admit the group trying to overthrow him is al-Qaeda-based. That is amazing. In fact, there's more mainstream news this week even admitting that, well, this is good al-Qaeda, even though the leader of the rebels is a guy who fought U.S. troops in Iraq. That's on record. And we're told we have to because Gaddafi might have killed some protesters. It turned out most of that wasn't true. And he didn't flee, like they said, to Venezuela. My point is we're being lied to. Just like our media says, it's illegal to try to assassinate a head of state. And so we are not trying to assassinate Gaddafi. Every time he gives a TV interview, the facility he's at gets bombed within 20 minutes. The minute he goes on TV live, jets are launched to go bomb whatever compound he's in. They're killing a whole bunch of his family, and folks are like, woohoo, USA, USA. It has nothing to do with USA. It's oil companies want the trillions in oil, period. And they'll use whoever they need to get control of it. And you're like, well, I like Donald Trump. Give us their oil. You pay for the war. You don't get the oil, dum-dum. You figured that out yet? The globalists don't care about Libyans or Iraqis or Germans or Americans or Israelis or anybody. They don't care about Japanese glowing from radiation. They care about dominating society. They care about control. Okay, I'm ranting. Now, on this whole Dominique Strauss-Kahn, I don't like him. He's got a history of reportedly liking the ladies. This is a classic trait. Of people like Bill Clinton, and where there's smoke, there's fire with Bill Clinton. I mean, how many women went to court, swore affidavits that he raped them, that he would hold them down and bite their face to hold them down? I mean, vicious stuff. How many reports of Al Gore? How many reports of these politicians and people acting like thugs? Is it true? The cops won't test the woman's dress in Al Gore's case, so we won't find out. But she's saying, here's the dress. I swear under penalty of perjury, test the dress. And they're like, no. So why then did Kahn reportedly force oral sex, is what the police are saying is the report, on this woman in the suite, then run off and jump on the jet to France? And before it could take off, he got pulled off. Why whenever some other elitist like Al Gore or Bill Clinton is reportedly doing similar things, does nothing happen? What's happening with Kahn? I mean, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't studied the UN in New York City, they've been caught many, many times, but only when it's so egregious and a local cop has probable cause because they hear the person screaming from a balcony and the cops don't need a warrant, they bust in. Because if the cops have to get a warrant and they go to the corrupt New York establishment, the judges won't issue them on the UN. How many times you see the headline, UN diplomats caught running slaves, white slaves? People send me emails going, well, are black slaves worth as much as white slaves? Folks, I'm not talking about black people and white people, if you're a new listener. White slavery is a sex slave. They could be green, black, white, okay? Sex slaves, white slavery. They catch them just constantly from China, Mexico, Sudan, Saudi Arabia. In fact, folks won't believe it. Most people probably heard it in the news, but just search UN diplomat caught trafficking drugs, or UN diplomats, or diplomats caught with slaves. Just type in diplomats slaves, diplomats sex slaves. I mean, I see it every week without looking. And guess what an IMF or World Bank executive or even mid-level minion has? They have diplomatic immunity under the UN and under the EU. And they cannot be pulled over by the Texas State Police or the New York State Police. I mean, there have been cases of them running stop signs, running over bikes, running into people. Houston police get sick of it, pull them over, arrest them. Oh, that cop was so fired, it'll make your head spin. But little old Alex Jones, oh, yeah. We're all held to the law. They are not held to the law. And that's what globalism is. These globalists, these private megabanks created the UN, created all these organizations. They go lobby our Congress, lobby our parliaments in Canada and England and other areas, and get those governments to sign treaties with the private IMF, World Bank, World Trade Organization, UN, to waive our rights to them and to pay our tax money to them. That's what the New World Order is. That's why they've now announced, oh, there's a global banking problem, a global currency crash. We'll set up a new global bank owned by the private IMF and World Bank and its shareholders. They're just a consortium for the big private banks, a holding company. And we will now have total control over all currency, all taxes worldwide. All interest rates. That's the New World Order. Not so much the governing class or the government class. That's the corrupt minions. But this private corporate class that, again, most corporations, big corporations, are bigger than the average nation. They have their own intelligence agencies, their own systems. Most U.S. intelligence is run by multinational private companies now. That's how they get away with this stuff. It isn't even our government that staged 9/11. It was these private contractor networks that control our government that staged it. That's what the evidence and deep research shows. Now, continuing. This is how these diplomats act. This is the type of stuff they constantly engage in. And by the way, did we find any articles about UN diplomats, sex slaves? Because I want to put those on screen. We did? Okay, good. We're going to, during the breaks, I'll dig some of those up. We'll dig some of those up, and I will read those headlines to you. But it is an ongoing situation. So when I see this happening with Dominique Strauss-Kahn, I tend to give it credibility. But he deserves a trial. That's why we have trials in this country. You just can't kill somebody, throw them in the ocean, and then say they did what you said they'd done because you said so. And that's the larger issue here. Why do we, in the U.S. especially, just take whatever the corporate media puts out as the truth? And why does the big corporate media take what the politicians say in press conferences as true and then just repeat it to everyone? That's why we've gotten in so much trouble. Now, that said, I don't know if Kahn did this or not. It fits the psychological type, if you have to profile these people. But at the same time, his lawyer says IMF chief denies New York City sexual assault charges. Now, continuing, there's a lot of intelligence operations, a lot of governments working against each other. He may have thought he was ordering up a prostitute and this happened. Or he may have been set up. That's why he gets a trial. But here's another issue. IMF chief's arrest throws French politics into disarray. New York Times. He was set and favored to beat Nicolas Sarkozy, and he's not seen as pro-U.S. or Anglo-American establishment as Sarkozy. That's why there could be a motive here to set him up.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
We found literally hundreds and hundreds of articles dealing with UN sex crimes all over the world, using the diplomatic immunity to traffic in children, women, you name it. Diplomats here in the United States caught routinely using their diplomatic pouches to bring in narcotics, running slaves. You can just type in UN diplomats, drug trafficking. You can type in UN peacekeepers abusing children into Google and find it. Here's one, peacekeepers abusing children, BBC. Here's another one, UN child sex slave scandals continue. Here's a CNN, charity aid workers raping abusing children. Then you read the article, it's UN people. So that's my point, is that these globalists have diplomatic immunity, and these IMF and World Bank heads have diplomatic immunity, and high-level State Department officials have it when they're in other countries. And they can basically get away with murder, and that's wrong. And so it's setting up a new imperial global system where these bureaucrats and these corporate bureaucrats are above the law. And so that was my point with Dominique Strauss-Kahn. They're normally above the law, and I know that he had diplomatic immunity in his IMF position, so it's very unusual that the New York police would arrest him. And he may well have done it, too. It's just this does not follow the normal pattern. But, hey, that's good news for Nicolas Sarkozy, because the polls were showing that he was probably going to lose to Dominique Strauss-Kahn. Not anymore, huh? Whatever happens with this case. Now, this is out of the National Journal. Geithner predicts double dip if Congress fails to lift debt ceiling. Well, you know, the White House told us last year that we left the recession in June of 2009, almost 2 years ago. So we, or is that longer than 2 years ago? So we left the recession, everything's wonderful, and they tell us unemployment's 9.0%. So it's less than 10%, but even 60 Minutes did a study in November of last year and said it was over 22%. And all these prestigious financial institutions that study it say it's between 22 and 24. California is above 33. But Geithner tells us that inflation's low. Everybody knows inflation's up. Look at the price of everything going up. Look at the price of fuel going up. Only thing going down is housing because of that bubble popping. So they're using that number to try to hold the inflation numbers down. And if the price of beef goes up, then they'll substitute it with pork or whatever's lower and say, well, that's what you're going to be eating. They've got a lot of different ways to manipulate different indexes, but it's just so asinine that everything that comes out of their mouth is an easily verifiable crock of baloney. And Geithner is saying that if we don't raise the debt ceiling, that it will cause a double-dip recession. And, of course, he said 3 weeks ago that if we didn't raise the debt ceiling, it would cause a depression and a default on the debt. Well, the private Federal Reserve is already technically defaulting on the debt because they're already buying over 70% of the T-bills that go to auction. The Federal Reserve is buying those. And then American taxpayers then have to pay the Federal Reserve for it. So we, the American people, are going into debt. And then the private Federal Reserve group of banks, they make profits off of servicing the interest rate on that debt. And they get to loan it out at 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70. Some annual credit card rates are at 79.9. Don't believe me? Just put credit card rates now as high as 79.9. You'll get CNN, Associated Press. In fact, let's just show them again. Let's just hit them with it right now. Let's just show the radio listeners send me emails and say, show us. Are you crazy? It's radio. I forget. We're simulcasting and streaming video with a multicam shoot at prisonplanet.tv. Prisonplanet.tv. 15 cents a day, $5.95 a month. That pays for the bandwidth. A whole other dimension to the radio show. All my films, my book, Paul Watson's book as ebooks, expanded extras like the hour plus interview with Stuart Rhodes and others in our new studio. It's called The State Strike Back. Newest video up there, prisonplanet.tv. And your support makes this transmission possible. But to have Geithner, running around after the private central banks have put us in this position by design. That's in the IMF World Bank documents that got leaked in 2002. BBC reported on it. They want us in debt. They get the interest on the debt that they positioned us into. The vast majority of the debt was money they created that they used, but we've got to pay them for the money that we gave them. And he's saying, oh my gosh, another recession may come if you don't do what we say. But Standard & Poor's a month ago said that the outlook for the U.S. keeping its AAA rating is poor. And many institutions have come out that rate and say we really should be more like a C. They want to position us to lose our credit rating like a third world country. So instead of the government getting credit from these bankers out of nothing at 1% or 2%, which is still a lot when you're talking about tens of trillions of dollars, now it can be 10, 20, 30% like Nigeria or Argentina. There's a reason those third world countries can never get up on their feet. The endemic corruption, but also the debt system, the IMF and World Bank, run by people like Dominique Strauss-Kahn, now in a jail cell in New York. So if we don't go into more debt, we're going to lose our rating. But we're losing our rating because Standard & Poor's said our debt is unserviceable and too big. So instead of fixing the debt, they say more debt is the answer. Now, the crew was just showing me an article, and I'm glad that they reminded me by putting it up on screen. Against raising the debt ceiling, then you're with Al-Qaeda. Remember this a month ago or 3 weeks ago? Bush former Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, in a cryptic statement, says this is going to cause our economy to implode if we don't raise the debt ceiling. We don't have to raise the debt ceiling if you cut government. And if you make Wall Street take a haircut and not pay them these trillions in bonuses based on derivative fraud they created, that they then bought off Congress and threatened Congress with imploding economy back in October 2008, if they didn't put unlimited money into the kitty with too big to fail. See how they create the Ponzi scheme, hold us hostage and say, put unlimited money into it or we're going to take the ship down with us. Well, they're already taking the ship down with them, and they are becoming trillionaires in the process, these major corporations. Look at who's making record profits. Look at who's making record bonuses. It's the big mega banks. It's the big shareholders in the private Federal Reserve, while everything else is destroyed, while our future's destroyed. They're not free market. These are crony capitalists. They're insider manipulators. They're monopoly men. And in case you don't believe that clip, here it is from Bloomberg. He went on to say we need to round up members of Congress who are the crazy Al-Qaeda people that don't want to give him, the bankers, and his crew unlimited money. Here he is throwing a tantrum saying that if you are against increasing the debt and going more into debt to them, these parasites, that you are Al-Qaeda and need to be rounded up. Here it is.
In this sense, there is now a set of practices that are employed that are effectively accounting engineering to extend reaching the debt ceiling. So Tim Geithner has said we're going to reach the debt ceiling on May the 18th,
right,
and he hopes that the Congress will act by July.
Right.
You know, well, how do we get from May to July? By doing financial accounting tricks. I think it helps the Congress to avoid being responsible. I think that's a really bad idea.
It's a poor political judgment.
Absolutely. I wish Tim Geithner would say, when we reach the debt ceiling, we're not going to do tricks down here at our end of Pennsylvania Avenue. The Congress needs to be responsible and adult and take action on the debt ceiling. And, you know, I think the people who are threatening not to pass the debt ceiling are our version of Al-Qaeda terrorists. They're really putting our whole society at risk by threatening to round up 50% of the members of Congress, mm-hmm, who are loony, who would put our credit at risk.
So Boehner not ruling out that any kind of debate over...
Now, I played that like 3-4 times in a row a few weeks ago to really get the gist of it. But he's saying they're threatening to make us round up half of Congress who are the loony Al-Qaeda. What a bizarre statement. But remember what the guy that followed him, Henry Paulson, said. In early October, he went to Congress and he said, we're going to have martial law if you don't do this. Then he went out on TV and said, we're going to have a depression. You've got to give us unlimited money and a blank check. The market dropped almost 1,000 points the next day, and Congress, that wouldn't give them the $27 trillion they've now stolen, gave them the blank check, and then they wouldn't tell Congress where the money went, and later we found out it went to buy off MSNBC, to put on anti-American propaganda. It went to almost exclusively foreign banks that have hijacked this country, okay? People like Dominique Strauss-Kahn. Stay with us.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, Don, D.C., Philip, Brad, Michael, Jim, David, Steele, Peter, Timber, Ty. I'm going to get to all of you. Then I need to get more into Fukushima, more on the federal government issuing more waivers to insiders. They'll have to buy insurance, but everybody else does, for their employees. That'll just be taken out of the employee's paycheck and done through layoffs. So we're also going to get into some of the latest TSA harassment that's going on. And the big one, after I take a big round of calls, is the serious deterioration of the borders of Israel and the overall destabilization of the Middle East. 8 killed as Israeli troops opened fire on Nakba Day border protests. So that's coming up. But right now, let's go to Don in Michigan. Don, thanks for holding her on the air.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
It's good to talk to you, Alex. I'm with you on the mainstream media. That's killing me. Absolutely killing me. And I kind of put my job on the line, and I'll find out tomorrow what the outcome is. But I sent on work time, I sent out a newscast to my local radio station, and it was through work media. So I was wondering if I could read that to you real quick.
Sure. What is it?
Okay. I screwed up. I mean, it's their computer. It's their time. It's, you know, whatever. But anyway, the gist of my story was you refuse to evolve with the awakened people when it comes to real news and continue to feed everyone the lies and propaganda that is fed into your station with no desire or self-thinking ability to look deeper into issues that gravely affect all of us, including my children as well as yours. You continue to believe all the crap that mainstream media draws on like a baby to milk, not even aware that it's orchestrated to keep you oblivious to reality when reality is what you should be, what should concern you the most. Only suckers bite on every piece of bait in front of them, especially when pertaining to wars, politicians, major disasters, etc. Osama's been dead for years. 9/11 was an inside job. And all wars are created for profit by people that view you and I as weeds and have no worth and are disposable.
Well, let me stop you for a minute here, Don, because did you sent an email at lunch or on a break or whatever you did at work, and correct me if I'm wrong, to a radio station or TV station, some type of media, and did the station send an email back and tattle on you? Or is somebody reading your email and freaking out over this because of the political context? I mean, I bet people at work sometimes are sending emails out that aren't work-related. Are they going to fire everybody, or have you gotten in trouble yet? Or why did you preface all of this with that statement?
I'm very threatened with this right now. I work for a good company. I'm absolutely not going to say the name.
No, I don't want you to say the name. I want you to answer my question. Have they... did the media outfit you sent this email to, did they tattle on you, or
yes they divulged my name because my name was linked to the company name.
Well, that just shows you how America has turned into a bunch of tattletales, and they're all told see something, say something. So here you are sending an email from work saying I don't agree with what your radio or TV station's doing. Was it radio, TV, or newspaper?
It was radio, and it's a major radio station. And it's
okay, so you as an American dared send your political opinion, so they sat there and giggled and said, "We'll get Don, ha ha ha," and this horrible creature then sent this to your boss, hoping to get you in trouble.
Absolutely, and I knew as soon as I said it. I said it a week ago, Friday, Alex.
Well, Don, I tell you what, as soon as you know what happened with us, with this story, let us know, okay? I'm sorry to hear that happen to you, but we've got to think smart here. When we're going to engage in political activism, it's best to not do it from the workplace. If your workplace doesn't, you know, authorize that, or do it from your own private email during your lunch hour, show these little dirty rats.
This is Alex Jones with 5 good reasons.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, folks, here's the deal. We're now live into hour number two. I've got great political activist, national TV host now on RT, Luke Radowski, popping in, coming up at the bottom of the hour for one segment, then we'll continue with calls right through the end of the transmission today. We got about 54 minutes left here in broadcast time today. I do want to get into the ongoing destabilization of the Middle East, now making its way to Israel. We knew that was coming. Eight killed, at least. The numbers, it appears, may grow because these numbers always come out lower than they are later. Eight killed as Israeli troops opened fire on Nakba Day protest. Many more wounded in clashes at Israel's borders with Syria, Gaza, and Lebanon as UN appeals for maximum restraint. Continuing, Palestinian Nakba protest turned deadly. Israel sees Iran's fingertips. Continuing, here's Haaretz. Eight killed as IDF fires on infiltrators from Syria and Lebanon. Here's another one. Israel-Palestinian violence erupts on three borders. Reuters. Here's my point. If you go to Arutz Shiva, big Israeli national news, they've got footage of people that don't look like armed terrorists to me, rioting and then being attacked. And this is not what I'd call Iranian-backed terrorists, I'll just tell you. And before I go to your calls, I'm going to get more into this later. Here's my point on this front. Libya is fighting against Al-Qaeda-backed rebels. That is admitted even by the Wall Street Journal, New York Times. Libya is being bombed by NATO for fighting back against them. Now, here's Israel saying they're fighting Iranian-backed rioters, and they're shooting them, and our media's like, attaboy, get them. This is all just hypocritical. I'm saying let's not bomb Libya and let's not bomb Israel either. And let's not bomb Syria. The State Department admits they've been financing the Muslim Brotherhood in southern Syria for a month-long military-style attacks on Assad. And the Russians came out last week and said, if you try on a bombardment, we may intervene. And if the Russians tell you they're going to intervene, folks, and historically they're going to do it. Russia normally will sit back if it's not going to do anything. But if Russia says, we think we're probably going to do something, look out. You already saw that bluff Cheney ran on 888 when they kicked off the Olympics in Beijing. And over in Georgia, NATO launched those attacks through Georgia into South Ossetia and Abkhazia, the Russian-held enclaves, and Russia rolled in and just blew the daylights out of them and then rolled mobile nukes in and said, we're prepared to launch nukes. I mean, it's just, see, I love my children. I don't want to have World War III. These globalists like Strauss-Kahn and Obama and stuff may think it's cute and fun. I don't think it's funny. All right. I said I'd go to your calls because there's a loaded phone lines here, and I want to get to everybody. Brad, Michael, Jim, David, Stephen, Peter, Timber, Ty, others. Number to join us, 877-789-ALEX. When I go to your calls, short and sweet, because I want to get to everybody. Brad in Pennsylvania, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex. Happy Sunday to you.
Thank you, sir. What's on your mind?
I just want to mention a couple things. I think it's the total thing. The big picture is dehumanization and depopulation. That's what the globalists are all about, and that's what they're trying to do.
Well, I agree with you. At the end of the day, they believe in survival of the fittest, social Darwinism, and that it's their right to dominate the planet and then to basically forcibly reduce the population so that the elite and their progeny can enjoy the fruits of the earth. And that's their own statements. I cover it et nauseam in my film, Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, and that's their ballgame. What do you think about Israel shooting and killing at least eight people that were rioting and throwing rocks? Should NATO now bombard Israel and invade Israel? Should NATO bomb the Knesset with 2,000-pound bombs and try to kill Benjamin Netanyahu? I don't think they should, but under what they're doing in Libya, that's what they should do.
In Syria, like you said, It's who they want to mess with and what trouble they want to start in these other countries. Israel ain't one of them.
Absolutely. So it's openly hypocritical. It has nothing to do with humanitarian actions. But how do you think a good old boy out there reading the Wall Street Journal, where they admit the core of the anti-Qaddafi group is Al-Qaeda, meeting with Obama officials, being funded by them, and I guess Al-Qaeda are now the good guys?
It's so much disinformation. It's ridiculous. And thank you very much for doing your part in, you know, telling the truth, because God knows we need somebody to help us discern the information and the disinformation.
Hey, Brad, are you a radio guy?
No, but I always get that. Do you? I wish I was.
Well, usually people have phones nowadays. You can't even understand them with all these Skype phones and stuff and cell phones that cut out of you, you know, stand behind a bush. But any other points you want to add, Brad?
Just like you were talking about, maybe with that French guy, maybe it is some kind of thing so he'll lose the election. And also on Ron Paul, you don't talk enough about the fact that they, when he was winning the primaries in New Hampshire when he was running last time, they definitely tampered with the results. He may have won that thing, but they totally screwed
him. That's right. Exit polls showed he should have gotten three times more than he should have. And he's been number one or number two in all these polls for 6 months. Absolutely. But Brad, I appreciate your call. Look, on the Ron Paul front, he's going to be the only Republican injecting true Americana, true libertarian constitutional ideas in the debates. And it's going to build the liberty movement like nothing before. I mean, look what happened 3 years ago. And it's going to position Rand in the future with name identification to end up being president. There's a chance Ron Paul could end up being president. But there's an even better chance Rand Paul or somebody else like him down the road. Very exciting. Michelle in Virginia, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hello.
Michael. You know, I just can't get my name straight today. Michael, but we'll call you Michelle. We'll call me Michelle. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's Michael, and I want to quote you from about 5 minutes ago. You said, "I don't want to have World War III." I've been listening to you for several years. I've never heard you come up with a plan for avoiding World War III. My good friend David Rockefeller at least makes an attempt at it. My good friend Baron de Rothschild at least makes an attempt at it. My good friends at the IMF have at least made an attempt at it, but I can't even get Alex Jones to debate me on this issue so that we can bring Christians, evangelical Christians in particular, into the 21st century and back to what the Bible actually says our responsibility is as peacemakers.
Brad, I mean, look, number one, I don't know who you are, so or Michael, you know what we've got to do, guys? They've got a TV set in here about 8 feet away, and the names are so little that I guess my eyesight isn't as good as it used to be, so that's why I keep getting the names wrong. And I think we need to maybe bring a monitor. Can we cut a hole in the desk right here and maybe have a monitor in it so I can see the calls here? Because I think that's what's causing me to bumble around here. Michael, in Virginia. Number one, I don't know who you are. Number two, you say, I won't debate you. Number three, you say all these people are your good friends, and you have this appeal to authority that you have answered, you know, all the ways to stop World War III, and you're implying that all these globalists are trying to stop World War III when it's the IMF and the World Bank and the globalists that are launching all these new wars. So I don't know who you are from the man in the moon, Michael.
Well, look. Everybody is doing it according to their own individual twisted or enlightened idea.
Well, what do you mean I won't debate you? I don't know who you are. You're making false statements.
Well,
is that caller still there or is he gone?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm still here.
What's I'm asking you who you are. You're calling up saying I'm afraid to debate you. I mean, it's like
I'll tell you what. Your WTAR affiliate.
Look, I'm just going to come back to you after break, but just short and sweet, explain to me how David Rockefeller is trying to save us and how I've refused to debate you, okay? We'll come right back. Okay, I watched the IMF, the World Bank, the Council on Foreign Relations, putting in place eugenics, putting in place population reduction, putting in place a tax on the family. I see our own State Department financing Muslim extremists all over the Middle East to destabilize that region. I see our own government trying to encircle China and Russia while at the same time building up China. And Michael calls in all high and mighty and says, enlists a group of evil people who've been involved in all sorts of anti, you know, freedom movements on record, and calls them his friends, and then says, I won't debate him, and I don't know who he is from Brad or anybody else that called before him. And it's just a bizarre thing. You got 60 seconds to tell us how to stop World War III and how for Christians to come into the 21st century and join Beelzebub.
Okay, I can do it in less than 60 minutes. You debate me on coast. You debate me on coast to coast AM, and we will solve the problem.
Okay, Michael, you're a crackpot. You won't even tell me who you are. You're saying that I'm afraid to debate you. I've never talked to you before. Let him go. Just more idiocy. Jim in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
That guy was funny, Alex. I'm calling down on a what seems like a local issue, but it's really got a lot of globalist underpinning. It's the Formula One racetrack that they're bringing to Austin.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to pay hundreds of millions of taxpayer money, just like in Dallas, $1 billion of taxpayer money or more, when it came out to over $1 billion, didn't it, for that stupid Cowboys stadium. You know what? If you want a Cowboys stadium, you pay for it. You want a Formula One? You pay for it. That's what the New World Order is. It's always about big fat cats and select insiders that I've got a bankroll. Look at this. If this stuff goes through and they don't repeal it, I've got to get insurance for every one of my employees, whether they like it or not. So all I'm going to do is fire every one of them and hire them back as part-time contractors so they can buy their own insurance, because they don't want me to get them insurance and take their money. They want it. But then meanwhile, Obama just handed out hundreds more, 200 more to his little crony buddies. They don't have to get insurance, but I do. It's discrimination. It's an unfair trade advantage. I don't want to pay for the stupid bike program for insiders. I don't want to pay for the stupid Formula One track. If some European insider wants to come build that stinking thing, then they need to buy the land and build it. Stop taking my money. You know what happens if I don't pay the property taxes to this stinking city? If I don't sit there and give that scumbag, corrupt mobster city council all my money, they will come to take my house and sell it on the courthouse steps. And if I don't leave my house and I barricade myself in it, they will send the Austin SWAT team to murder me. They will shoot bullets into me. They will kill me. And they will kill you in Detroit or Los Angeles or anywhere else so they can take my money and give it to the Formula One scum. I'm sorry, it's theft. I'm sorry, go ahead, sir. This is the essence of tyranny. It's the essence of why this country is going down the rat hole.
Absolutely right, Alex, and line by line, 20 countries with Formula One, every one of them is government-funded. They're the poster boys for globalism.
So is soccer. So is all of it. They've built hundreds of these mega stadiums worldwide. Pay for it yourself.
And what's the guy with the IMF problem right now? What's his name?
Mr. Tally something?
All of these globalists, you've always said, they always have, they're just so out there. This guy in charge of Formula One, Bernie Ecclestone, on record, look it up online, praised Hitler, says he hates democracy because it gets in the way of everything, and it fits the bill. And now, Rupert Murdoch's News Corp is trying to take over the sport. Call City Hall in Austin, Texas, and tell them you don't want the Formula One racetrack. We're not going to pay for it. Call the Texas senators and your House reps. Tell them we're not going to pay for it.
And by the way, Jim, if people don't think we have power, I just had the state rep on Friday, Simons. They have now passed it in the House. It's going to pass in the Senate. They've got the votes. People need to keep putting pressure on them so that the feds can't stick their hands down our kids' pants and grab our wives' breasts at the airports. And at the federal level, they're cutting the funding for the naked body microwave scanners that are for Benjamin Chertoff, Michael Chertoff, all these people to make money, Dominique Strauss-Kahn, all of them. And you're absolutely right. But listen, that's why I got angry. My house's value's gone way down. Okay? I'm upside down. But they keep raising my property taxes. They keep passing a franchise tax on businesses in Texas. They keep doing all of this where it makes it hard to operate and exist. I'm being stolen from. And then meanwhile, Obama's buddies can have coal-powered plants, but all their other people get them shut down and my energy prices go up. Meanwhile, he's handed out several thousand now, 200-plus were added this week, to big insider corporations, all his contributors, where they don't have to follow the law. Everybody else does. We got your UN bureaucrats running around raping people left and right, getting away with it. I'm sick of it. The New World Order is a corporate government coming in and using government to rob us, and I'm tired of it, Jim. Good to hear from you. He got me mad right there. See, folks, I don't talk about local issues where I live because this is an international, national show. And I'll occasionally cover something local if it has national import, but I don't talk about what goes on in this town. Believe me, I could do it. Ah! Let's go ahead and talk to David in California. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Sounds like I picked a good day to call in. What's up, Al?
I'm sick of it.
Hey, I'm with you, man. And look, you got what the world needs. A lot of people call you a nut and crazy and all this. See, the guy,
you know what? I'd be crazy if I didn't want to pay my tax money for some guy in Europe to have his race car track. I can't handle it. Go ahead.
Oh, sure. You're crazy. And you don't want your kids fondled and molested every time you want to take a trip. No, you're crazy. You're an extremist. No, I know how it goes, buddy. I'm on to you. Anyway, since listening to you, I've only been tuned in through the internet here for about 2 months. I'll keep it short. I started looking around and seeing we got a lot of these internet-based attacks now. The PlayStation Network just came back up. People aren't really paying attention to it. I think it's false flag. Not too long ago before the government shut down, I think it was a couple days
after. No, I've been predicting that they're going to have false flags against the web as a pretext to take it over. And there's even Pentagon reports where they admit they're doing it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, it's rolling out now. Yeah. You know, and
it's like the antivirus companies are well known to be out there making the viruses. Sorry.
Well, yeah. I mean, but you can say that about, you know, computer software companies, antivirus. You can say that about your medical companies. You know, the money is in the medicine. You know, so if they can make you believe they've got the answer and you've got to pay for it. Hey, you know, they got the game locked up. But, yeah, you know, my biggest conundrum now is I've never called in really, really pleased at what you do, and I think we need more people like you. But, you know, this whole thing has really gotten me jaded since getting on to, the path of enlightenment, I'll call it. You know, it's really looking at what the hired help is doing. You know, we gave them the job. We put them in office. It's we the people, man. The Bill of Rights is written in cursive, and you're not even teaching cursive in schools anymore?
It's like having a dog, and you try to sit on your couch, and it growls at you. It's like having employees, and you come in, and the employees tell you to, you know, to lick their boots. It's completely backwards. And great point, David. Good to hear from you. Steve, Peter, Timber, Ty, others, your calls are coming up. But I think about Austin, Texas. These are not liberals that run this town. This is a corrupt inner core of people who take private property for environmental reasons and then hand it over to themselves. That $2 million for 300 bicycles.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows.
All right, we'll get to David, Steve, Peter, Timber, Ty, but that'll be it for calls in the time we've got. We just got two segments left, and Luke Radowski's going to be joining us in just a moment. But I'm going to be honest with you. I love spending time with my three small children. My littlest one had some type of stomach bug today. I almost didn't come in. It's such a beautiful day. It's like Valhalla. And because I'm sick of focusing on the evil. But I came in because my children have no future. Your children have no future. If we don't just face up to how bad things have gotten. And it's like the last caller said. The help has gotten out of control. And I think about the $700 toilet seats and $800 hammers at the Pentagon decades ago. I think about the $15 million Halliburton tarps that cost $500. I think about the Austin bike program they're going to go ahead and try to ram down us. They've shut down areas like 6th Street. Part of 6th Street has a bike lane. Never. I drive it all the time. Never do you see a bike. They make you park backwards now on the street for those shops as a way to worship the bikes. It's all about the government being able, like a mafia, to control when and how you can use something. It's been done over and over again. It's part of smart growth. Agenda 21. I've read the UN documents. I've made films. And I see it coming to the town where I live. And I see them training the police all over the country for no-knock warrants, where they just kick your door down. Now many states are saying for any warrant service, including parking tickets, they're going to kick the door down. It's all about scaring you. There was a police chief in Maryland a few years ago that said, yeah, we wear black masks and helmets to scare you. Well, I'm not scared. I'm scared of evil totally taking over and America being gone with the wind. America hadn't been perfect, but the amount of liberty we had here was greater than any other country, and it's been wonderful. And I think about the inside deal. You know, this is just one little example. $2 million for 300 bikes and $250,000 a year to service them. And it turns out the San Antonio program is bigger and costs less. It's just all about flaunting in our face. And I think about the hundreds of millions. In fact, I forget the exact number. Will, you look up, and it's always more later. Like the Dallas Cowboys Stadium was going to be $500 million. It was over $1 billion when it was done. Look up real fast the Austin Formula One, the East Austin Formula One, what they want taxpayers to pay. I'm done. And if I don't pay more taxes, pay more fees, more fines to this system, it will come and take my house. I don't even own my house. We didn't have property taxes till 50 years ago in this country. Property taxes is feudalism. I don't own my land. If I don't come up with that money, I lose my house. And what's it pay for? Government education, brainwashing. I'm done. I'm done with it. Okay? Now, I want to go to Luke. We'll hold him in the next segment and cram in these calls. I'll go into overdrive if I have to. I'm going to get to these calls. But Luke Radowski, 19 years old, listener of mine, becomes politically active. 4 or 5 years later, has a national TV show on RT, contributor, his own radio show, has hundreds and hundreds of We Are Change chapters around the country, around the world, fighting the fake global warming fraud, false flag terror, all of it. They're not liberal. They're not conservative. They're about justice. They're about studying issues and fighting the globalist agenda. And he went in and confronted Bernanke. He's confronted hundreds of globalists. I mean, you name it, he's done it. But now he does it as a reporter. And we're going to play a short clip of him talking to Ben Bernanke, this mobster in chief, the real president of America, illegitimately. Then we're going to go to Luke and talk about some of the other work he's doing as a shining testament and example to what you can do when you take action. And I'm very proud of the fact that so many trailblazers have grown from this show and my example, though it's my example certainly isn't perfect, and that those that were examples for me. Because you can kill Alex Jones, you can kill Luke Radowski, you can't kill ideas. You can't kill information. No army can stop an idea whose time has come. And the restoration of liberty and truth and justice is back. It's back in style. There's hundreds of mainstream news articles the last 2 weeks, more than hundreds, attacking myself and saying, why are conspiracy theories so popular? Why does he have now, I don't even want to tell folks, it's like 5 million a day now, listeners. I mean, I'm getting so successful, the globalist don't want to crush me, because if they do, it'll highlight everything I've said and done. But if they don't, I'm just going to keep growing. You know what? Full speed ahead. You can't stop the idea. But here's that short clip, and we're going to Luke. Here it is.
Finally, I've been able to get Ben Lucifer Bernanke himself today. Very fitting when everybody's struggling in this economy, struggling to survive, struggling to pay their mortgage, to even have food. Ben Bernanke's out celebrating at this huge gala event with all these rich, elite, powerful people drinking all this expensive alcohol and eating all this expensive food. Meanwhile, there's children starving. And I decided to play it smart, and that's why I came up to him many times pretending to take pictures for about 30 minutes, and then I just couldn't take it anymore, and I had to get him. Hey, Ben, just really quick, what'd you do at the 2008 Bilderberg meeting?
I'm not doing any press today.
It was discussed that's where they plan to destroy the economic American economy due to a mole. I mean, what'd you do with the Bilderberg Group?
I'm not doing any press today.
No questions?
No.
What'd you do there? All we want to know. When are you going to apologize for destroying this economy, Mr. Bernanke? That's a very simple question. What'd you do at the Bilderberg meeting? Of course, you don't want to answer that question because in 2008 in Chantilly, Virginia, at the elitist Bilderberg meeting, a mole came out right afterwards and said you guys were planning to destroy the U.S. economy, the U.S. dollar, to bring in a one-world government currency. And that's exactly what happened after your meeting in June of 2008.
All right, that's now, enough. You can see the whole video at wearechange.org or infowars.com. But the issue here is 2006, 7, 8, 9, right through, we're able to predict exactly what they're going to do via our moles. And I was there. And we just, if you're a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer, we just showed the video of Bernanke driving in and out. And we had U.S. Army in plain clothes harassing us, threatening us. It was hellish to just be there and show Obama and Hillary in there secretly at the meeting. The rest of the U.S. media not knowing where they disappeared for that day. We're calling ABC, NBC going, hey, you want to know where Hillary and them are? They're right here. Japanese media did show up. It's that's how controlled the press is. I mean, you got 125 global leaders. You got the Queen of the Netherlands, Henry Kissinger in there, Secretary of State in there, and they didn't want to know. And we came out and said, okay, they're about to implode the economy. Here's how they're going to do it. They're going to want a banker bailout. Then they'll announce a world government, which they've now done. But the yuppies were told world government doesn't exist, so they're going to at least try to help Bernanke bring us down because they hate their children. They hate freedom. They like feeling like they're part of the establishment. Luke, great job. Obviously, you shot great high-def video of him walking around, you know, with the other globalist in there, the other parasite globalist. But what else happened behind the scenes?
I mean, as soon as I started asking the question, I had one dude put his hands on me. Then he put a second hand in the middle. He tried to push me out of there. I just remember standing my ground until the second goon came around. They both grabbed my arms. And they literally had to drag me out of there. I really didn't want to leave because I just wanted to have a conversation and ask these people questions. If these people had nothing to hide, if these people weren't doing something wrong, they would just simply answer the question. And when they don't, that's when it's skeptical. That's when we have to see that there's something wrong with this puzzle, and that's when we have to demand answers.
Real reporters ask serious questions. What'd you do at the secret meeting? We shot video of you there. You bullhorned them. I bullhorned them. Here we are years later in the aftermath. You're asking a real question. You're supposed to just go to press conferences and take whatever he vomits on you and then repeat it to everyone. How dare you ask him a real question? That is so evil.
I mean, I've been down here in Washington, D.C., and it's been amazing. I mean, just this week, I'm going to be releasing a video of me confronting General Hayden, the former CIA and NSA head, about privacy rights. I talked to Senator Lieberman about Alawaki having dinner at the Pentagon. He himself said he would look into it. I'm going to be releasing video of Prodigy of Mobb Deep, an interview I did with this.
Tell you what, stay there. Let's talk about briefly some of the folks you've confronted. You got Gary Hart to admit our government does stage terror attacks, and he basically threatened Iran with that. Then let's talk about some of the new confrontations and what you're doing. This is what the media should be doing, but they're too busy lying.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
By the way, Here's the kind of news that's in my stack that I haven't gotten to. Headline, schools arrange secret abortions, parents outraged. And they're having a straight-faced national debate in New Zealand about, is it okay that they take 12, 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old girls and the school helps them get an abortion and teaches them how to not tell mommy and daddy? See, that's about the state running your children and carrying out the population reduction on them. Well, Americans don't even get mad. Schools all over the U.S. take kids to get abortions, and Americans say, hey, you own my kid. I'm here to produce babies for the state, land of the free, home of the brave. The TSA's like, that's right. We're sticking our hands on your one-year-old's pants. We own your family. Now get your wife over here. Teach her to submit. And if you don't like her, a SWAT team standing by. You better learn to submit to us. All right, I want to jam in some final calls, finishing up with Luke. You're going to be traveling to Europe, going to be reporting for us from Bilderberg in Switzerland, doing a great job. That was big news you mentioned before the break. You say you talked to a top globalist and said you want an investigation of Anwar al-Awlaki, the admitted number two guy, head of al-Qaeda, secretly hanging out at the Pentagon getting orders, source Fox News. And did I hear you right? You said Herr Lieberman?
Yeah, Senator Lieberman said he's going to look into the al-Awlaki thing. I talked to him twice when I was here in Washington, D.C. I'm going to be releasing the video later this week. Tomorrow I'm releasing an interview with Prodigy of Mobb Deep. Alex, you got to have this guy on your show. He's amazing. He's a Grammy Award-winning hip-hop artist, a hip-hop legend. I'm going to also be releasing videos with Larry Flint. Right now, I'm in Atlanta. I'm going to be speaking with Cynthia McKinney, Richard Gage, and April Gallup.
Wait, you got an interview with Larry Flint?
Yeah, Larry Flint actually gave me an interview down here in Washington, D.C. So that's going to be releasing later on this week on our YouTube channel.
You know, I got called by his people and said, you ought to put the request in. He might do it. And I never did it. I mean, I don't really approve of overall what's going on in the magazine, but it's a place to get our articles published. They published quite a few of our Infowars.com articles. But Larry Flint, I'd like to get him on. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, he's a very interesting freedom fighter as well, fighting for the First Amendment. But right now I'm in Atlanta. I'm going to be speaking at We Are Change Atlanta's event with April Gallup, Cynthia McKinney, and Richard Gage. Next week I'm starting my Euro tour. I'm going to be at the G8 in France. I'm going to be at the Bilderberg in Switzerland. I'm going to be speaking for the Sovereign Independent in Ireland, Scotland, and England. Then I'm going to be going all over Europe so people could contact me, get on my Facebook and Twitter to see exactly what I'm up to. But a lot of developments are breaking as they happen. I'm going to be there live on the scene reporting for you, for everybody else, and I hope people pay attention to.
And you gave me some bad news. The WeAreChange.org is being hacked where you can't even keep the site up. I'll have to get you on the phone with my IT guys, but it was you who got me in contact with a well-known IT expert that found stuff that we hadn't even found. He hit one button and was shutting our site off just to show it. So I think we need to give you the number of the guy that you gave us, and he'll be able to find the holes in your system.
Yeah, that's my friend from Federal, Jack. He tried to help us out. He even couldn't find out exactly what's happening with our website. So if he doesn't know, I'm kind of worried myself. So.
Well, have you moved to different servers?
Yeah, we changed servers. We gotta find. I don't know. I gotta find somebody to do this because.
Well, you're gonna have to just launch on a whole other URL and whole other platform.
Yeah, I'm most likely gonna do that. But right now, people could find me on my Facebook, which is Luke at We Are Change.
Hey, you know the good news? What are there over 200 other chapters globally with their own websites? Sorry, sorry, it's already gone viral. You're not going to stop any of us.
240 chapters worldwide, Alex Jones. It's insane.
Well
done.
And I
can't believe so many other people are fighting for truth and justice. And this is really the turning point right now where we all take action, take steps. And there's going to be so many of us at the Bilderberg meeting in Switzerland. I just can't wait to be there to bullhorn these evil criminals and to let them know that we're not going down without a fight. We're not going to go down silently. We deserve better. We as humanity will prevail, and they have nothing going for them. We have everything going for us, and it's only a matter of time until we start winning.
Well, you're just doing an incredible job, Luke, and you're inspiring countless others after you, and they can't stop the signal. They can't stop the truth. They can't stop the idea. And, Luke, God bless you. Great job, and I can't wait to have you reporting for us. We're going to have Jim Tucker on as well, who's got real moles inside, incredible intel coming up in June for Bilderberg. And we'll obviously talk to you before then. Be safe there in that den of iniquity, D.C.
No problem. I'm in Atlanta right now, so I hope everybody comes out to all these events and checks us out and participates. So just get involved, get active, and become the change you want to see in this world.
You all like right. This short? Luke, you're awesome. We'll talk to you again soon. In fact, let's just put him on hold and get the IT guys to talk to him. But if that awesome hacker you got us in touch with can't help you, I don't know if we can. Boy, Lance in North Carolina, you're on the air. Go ahead, Lance. Okay, I must have gotten a different phone system. Oh, that's what it is. It loaded old phone numbers. Stephen, Ohio, then Peter, Timber. I'm going to try to get to everybody. Steve, go ahead. You're on the air.
Alex, hi. Wanted to get with you. I really have a issue here. I wanted to ask you for some help on. I was really pushing information on my high school classmates' Facebook. There's about 350 people there back in 1967, graduates. And but more or less conservative people, and I was talking about Dr. Steve Pachinik and all that's been going on with the Bin Laden hoax and all that. And what I'm confused about is I was basically posting what Dr. Pachinik said concerning the Marfan syndrome and made statements just mirroring what he was saying, that you can't live more than 6 years with it. And I got kind of embarrassed because one of the...
No, there's some people that have another... You know, some people can live decades. And I asked Pachinik about that. We were all talking fast. It's the type of kidney failure he had and the Marfan's on top of it. He was saying that he didn't think he could live very long with it.
Okay, well, because the people posted back, Steve, here's the Mayo Clinic website, said people can live normal lives with it and all that sort of thing. I want to make one more point in a hurry. Is Alex, I know that you're expanding, but from what I see, I'm from Texas, Louisiana area originally, but from what I see up here in Ohio, I'm discouraged because the more people I talk to, and I'm talking good people, you know, they believe everything hook, line, and sinker. It's hard to find somebody that doesn't fall for it totally.
Well, they're going to get hurt bad by the system. Almost everybody I know doesn't believe that Bin Laden was just recently killed. I mean, the government's been caught running these hoaxes so many times in the past, Steve. And by the way, the whole Marfan's total kidney failure, which is a separate disease. The Marfan's is a growth disease, so that's probably how this is getting confused. No, hold on, caller, because I can hear him still turned up out there. I'm just trying to answer your question specifically. Pachinik has sources in the government saying he was already dead, and he said this in 2002, okay? And CBS News reported he was pretty much on his deathbed in 2001 at the American Hospital in Dubai and also at one in Pakistan. Go ahead.
Right. Well, and Bhutto, that lady in Pakistan, said he was dead, too. But the point is, these people won't listen. They laugh at me.
Well,
off
Steve,
of my
Steve
own,
I appreciate your call. You're going to have to move on. They want to be hurt bad, okay? They like the Federal Reserve stealing $27 trillion. They like Ben Bernanke laughing at him. They like paying for rich sports team owners' stadiums. They like having their property taxes raised. They like the country being deindustrialized. They think it's normal to have schools inject kids with flu shots without asking. That happened 2 years ago. They think schools taking their 12-year-old daughters and cutting babies out of them is good. Their religion is worshiping corrupt authority. And so they have no future. And I said I'd get to Peter and Timber and Ty and everybody else, but I'm just out of time here. I apologize. I'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central. And Peter, Timber, and Ty, we'll write those names down. If you can get in tomorrow, we'll go to you first, if not next Sunday. It is just so frustrating, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, the Gulf of Tonkin really happened. The WMDs are in Iraq. Bill Clinton didn't have sex with that woman. And the government loves you and cares about you. And we're not even in a recession. The economy is great.